Appreciate you, brother.
Once again, it is good to be back in the house of the Lord and thank the Lord for all of his blessings to us.
Amen.
Another beautiful day that he's blessed us with, and we're thankful for that. It's good to see each and every one of you here this evening. God has truly been good to us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to look in our Bibles. I'm going to read in Psalms chapter 62. I don't know if y'all remember, but whenever I was in school, we had to read a book called Great Expectations. Any of y'all ever read that? Great Expectations. And it was that one of the characters in the book, his name was Pip. And Pip in the book, he was poor. But he had hit all of a sudden there was a benefactor that was paying for him to do things and go places and get some education. And as he was growing up, he thought it was this one person, and they had really mistreated him as he's growing up. And come to find out that towards the end of the book, he finds out that the one that had been paying for all of his education and been helping him out in a long life was not at all who he thought it was. It was a person that he had helped. It was an escaped convict that he had helped on the beach. I believe if that was right, he hid in a boat. And the man repaid his gratitude to him by paying for his education. And then whenever he got older, he revealed himself to him. And it was kind of a disappointment. You know that? But, you know, I said it to say this, is sometimes our expectations aren't, they're let down. You know, if I take this bottle of water and I shake it up, and I open it, we know nothing's going to happen. But if I take this bottle and I shake it up, that says ginger ale. If I take this bottle up and I open it, what's going to happen? Nothing. Your expectation was dashed, wasn't it? See, you didn't know I took soda out and put water in. You see, just like that, your expectation, you were shocked, right? Some of you are thinking, what is he doing? He knows that's going to make a mess. I can see it in your eyes. Some of your eyes, when I start turning that bottle cap, you're thinking, he's going to make a mess. Brother Doug's going to have to spank him because he's making a mess in our church. But you see, our expectation, sometimes we get an expectation of something, And we can be let down. You know that?
It's true.
And a lot of times, and it's sad to say, we have high expectations sometimes. And, you know, even people, I mean, as a congregation, you have an expectation of Brother Doug as a pastor, right? Yeah, well, you should have. And you should have a reasonably high expectation that whenever you come, he's going to preach the Word of God to you. Me as being a visitor, you have an expectation that I'm going to come. Whenever I come, I'm going to preach to you what the Word says. But, you know, sometimes we get our expectation on people instead of God. Amen. You know that? And sometimes there's been a lot of people, and I think we all know people that have been hurt extremely bad, especially in religious groups that have got their expectation on a certain person. And they expected him to be true, and they expected him to be faithful, and they expected him to be a help in time of need, and it just didn't happen.
That's true.
And they've been let down, and sad to say, some people have gone back from serving the Lord because of that. You know, even in our families, we have high expectation of mom and dad. We have high expectation of grandma and grandpa. We have high expectation. And a lot of times it's sad to say that those expectations are not at all what sometimes we expect them to be. And at other times it's greater than we could ever have thought it would be. You know, but there's different times that our expectations get dashed. So tonight we're going to talk about our expectations from God. All right, so we're reading in Psalm chapter 62. All right, starting at verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. And our thought will be taken mainly from verse 5. My expectation is from him. Amen. Great expectations from God. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. And Father, you see the thoughts you've given me, Lord, and in myself they're nothing, Lord. They're just thoughts. But Father, I ask that you would season them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that as they go forth, that they would be what we stand in need of. Even, yes, Lord, what I stand in need of this day. Father, and we'll thank you for all that's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I wanted to look at that. An expectation is a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. Anticipation, expectancy, eagerness, excitement, and hope. Amen. So in verse 5 it says, my expectation, it says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Amen. So whenever we put our expectation in God, and we don't put our expectation in man, then we never can be disappointed.
That's true. Right.
Amen. If our expectation is in God and not in man, then we can never be disappointed, right? Amen. Amen. Because we're not seeing the preacher. We're not seeing the song leader. We're not seeing the Sunday school teacher. What we're seeing is God working through them. And as long as our expectation is in God and in him alone, then we'll never be let down.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what else will happen? We'll never be offended. Because if we get our eyes on the preacher, sometimes the preacher in preaching the word and bringing forth a point, we might be offended.
True.
The Sunday school teacher, sometimes in the Sunday school teacher is trying to make a point. And he might get a little, Jody says I get forceful sometimes. So I might get a little forceful, you know, if I'm teaching a class, trying to make the point, and you might get offended. But you know what, if you stop and look at it and say, you know, if you accept it as the Lord teaching us, is it coming from the Lord, then we're less likely to be offended. You know that? But we got to look at where our expectation is.
Right.
Now, sure, we ought to have an expectation that they're going to teach us truth, that they're going to lead us right. Amen. But our expectation for what we receive should be from God.
Amen.
Always. We should always, our expectation should be from him. Amen. I'm just the deliverer of the message. That's
Amen.
It. His message don't originate with me.
Nope.
Amen. Nothing I said this week so far has originated with me. Right? I'm not that smart. I mean, you think about it. I'm not that wise. You know that? I can't form words like that. But whenever we look and realize that God is the one that is supplying through the Holy Spirit, then we can look at him and know that everything we received has been from him.
Amen.
Because that's what we was expecting, right? We come to service expecting to hear from God.
Amen.
And whenever we left, we felt like we heard from God, right?
Amen.
Amen. Like Brother Doug said, it may have not been audible. It may have been something in the message. Maybe God spoke to you audibly in your mind. Hey, this is what you need. This is what I need. Amen. So, but our expectation has got to come from him. Amen. It's got to come from him. We can't come to church and say, well, I expect Brother Doug to feed me today. Or I expect Brother Tim to feed me tonight. You're going to be disappointed. You know that? We're going to be disappointed. But if you come expecting to hear from God,
Amen.
He will meet us every time.
Amen.
He will meet us every time. When we kneel to pray in our closet of prayer at home or driving down the road, wherever we're going, and we're praying to God, and we expect that He's going to hear our prayer, you know what? We're never disappointed, are we? Amen. Whenever we pray, we know that He hears our prayer. The Bible says we have that confidence in Him. Amen. That we have that confidence that when we pray, He will hear. Amen. So, and that's because our expectation is not in ourselves, amen, but it's in God. Amen. So our expectation has to be from Him. You know, Paul kind of touched on that. Some of them were saying, well, I'm of Apollos. You know, so I'm of Paul. And Paul, he got offended. And he told them, he says, who are we? We're nobody. One plants, the other waters, but it's God that gives the increase.
Amen.
Amen. So that's what we got to remember, is our expectation has to come from God. Amen. Amen. And whatever aspect of work we might do in the church or among the church body, amen, and whoever we might sit under or worship with, our expectation is not in them, but is in God.
Amen.
Amen. And we're thankful for that, because it's only God that can give us our, amen, increase, right? It's only God can give us our increase. Amen. So our trust has to come from Him. Amen. The next one there is that God is our defense. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Amen. Have you ever thought about God being your defense? You know, I know Brother Doug loves guns. He hunts a lot. I don't hunt so much. But I understand that our rights are important, and I know that. But I hear people that are Christians, and they talk about taking up guns and protecting and defending themselves. And you know what I told them? I told him, you know what? I don't have any fear whatsoever in this world that God is not going to protect me. I said, that's what I believe. I believe that if I do my part and I act like I should, I don't act foolishly, that God's going to protect me. I don't have a fear. I don't have a fear of laying my head on my pillow at night. You know that? I'm not afraid of that. There's many nights Jody and I lay down in the bed and wake up the next morning and realize we left the door unlocked and don't even realize it. I don't have a fear. I don't sleep with a gun under my pillow. If I wake up in the night and I hear something that startles me, you know, sometimes you'll be startled awake, you'll hear something, you're like, what was that? And you start listening real close. And the next thing you know, it's a little bit of fear comes in. Yeah. And you know what I do? I rebuke that. Because I know that fear is of the devil. Amen. And I put my expectation in God. He is my defense. Amen. I think about Elijah whenever he was there. And the servant come in and he said, Master, we're surrounded. I could just see him. He was all, we're going to die. They're going to kill us. They're here. They're going to take us. And there's nothing we can do. And Elijah, he told him, he says, don't worry about it. I could just see him in the house there. The servant come in all bothered and tizzied about it. It's an army out there. They're going to kill us. And the man of God just going on about his business. Don't worry about it. We'll be all right. It'll be all right. But Master, you don't see. And he just prayed, Lord, open his eyes.
Amen.
And he was amazed at what he saw.
Amen.
Amen. The whole host there to protect them. And you know what, saints? That's the way we are to see. That God has a host protecting us.
Right.
Amen. The Bible says He's given us His angels charge over us. Amen. I believe that God sends His guardian angels to watch over us. And sometimes I've even been a part of whenever He was set aside the laws of nature to protect us, and things happen. Things happen we can't explain, but whenever we put our expectation in God and know that He is going to be our defense, then we don't have to worry about things.
Right. Yes. Praise the Lord.
I'll never forget one time we was traveling to Louisiana and we had just made a stop. And I'm the kind of person that whenever I'm on the road, I got a set place I want to go. And I want to get to a certain amount of gas before I stop again. And we just filled up. We just got on the road and was just making good time. And I think Ethan was a baby and he just started screaming and crying. And Joey said, Tim, we got to stop. And I did not want to stop. But we got to that exit and we pulled off, and we wasn't there 5 minutes maybe. He got settled. I mean, it was just that fast. We pulled off and he settled right down. We got back on the interstate, and immediately we was in traffic. And about the place, when we made it to about the place we would have done, there was a horrific crash. And I tell you what, we thought about that, and we thought about that the whole time.
Sure.
That all of a sudden he just started crying, and we couldn't console him. And then when we got off, he just settled right down, and we got right back on the road. But I believe that because we put our trust in God, that he worked that to our benefit. Sure. You see, saints, whenever we put our trust in God, nothing is a coincidence. You know that I don't believe in coincidence. I know that God is my defense because my expectation comes from him. Amen. Now, I'm not wise enough to make that decision. I couldn't see down the road. Amen. But God knows. And if we'll just trust in him, amen, he will watch over us. He'll protect us. He'll be our defense always. Amen. Amen. So there's so many things that God does for us. Amen. And in verse 7, he says, me is my salvation and my glory. And whenever I look at that glory, I thought about that with our expectations from God, there's no condemnation. Whenever I look at that glory, he is my expectation and my glory, my salvation and my glory. Right? That means there's no condemnation there. Not that we glory in ourselves, but we can look at ourselves and thank God that we don't feel condemnation. We thank God that he has cleansed us from sin. And we couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
Amen.
No, I couldn't do it. I've heard people say, try time and again to quit the habit. They've tried to quit drugs. They tried to quit alcohol. Amen. They tried to quit gambling. This and that, different things. And it's impossible. You know that? But with God as our glory, amen. No, we don't glory in that we did it, but we can glory in that he delivered us from it. Amen. And what a beautiful thought to know that God delivered me. Yeah. And God delivered you. And the most beautiful thing is that God can deliver any person on the face of this earth.
Yes.
Amen. Regardless of what it is.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. If Paul was a murderer and God delivered him.
That's right.
Amen. He not only delivered him, he turned him into a great evangelist.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. So what can God do with you? Amen. What can he do with us whenever we put our trust in him, right?
Amen.
Amen. We give him our heart. We never know. I had no idea I'd be a preacher. I can tell you that. I never had no idea I'd be a pastor of a church. Amen. But we know what? Whenever we put our will in his hand, right? Me and Brother Doug was talking about that the other day. God has a way of leading us and teaching us and bringing us to a place where he can use us. Because many of us, or probably all of us, when we got saved, we was just about worthless. I mean, really, we was. You know that? We just wasn't much good to ourselves or anybody else. But God has a way, if we put our trust in him, and we trust in his glory, we trust in the process, and we follow him, you know what he does? He purifies us.
Right?
Right? He cleans us. Amen. He sets us. We go through trials. We go through trouble. But you know what we do? We keep putting our trust in him, don't we? Our expectations from him. There's many times that we went through troubles and trials, and I hit my knees and said, Lord, I can't handle this.
Right.
Lord, I can't face this. And I'm sure every one of you would say the exact same thing. And you know what happens? You end up coming through it, and you don't even realize you're through it. You know that? You come through it, and then sometimes it's months. And you realize, it's over.
Yep.
And why? It's because we put our trust in God. We put our expectation in him. Amen. And he was our glory, right?
Amen.
He was our glory. He brought us through. Amen. What a beautiful thing it is to put our trust in God and have our expectation from him. Amen. It's good to have an anticipation or an eagerness to know that God is going to work for us,
yes,
right?
Amen.
That he's going to see to us. He's going to take care of us. Amen. What a beautiful thing it is. Amen. Verse 8 says, trust in him at all times. Amen. Whenever we put our trust in him, we'll never be ashamed. You know that? We put our trust in God, we will never be ashamed. I remember one time praying for a person, and I know you've experienced this. People call and ask for prayer, or they'll send you a text, and the devil says, God's not going to touch them. The devil plants that in your mind. And I remember one time I told the devil, I said, Satan, the Bible says that I would never be ashamed. Amen. And we prayed anyway. And you know what? We put our expectation in God and not our fear in Satan. We put our expectation in God. It's amazing what God can do for us. How many times has He come to our rescue? Huh? How many times has, whenever we put our trust in Him, I'll never forget. Whenever Ethan and his first wife's grandparents, man, they was really hard on us. They was really down on the church. They was down on us. We went to church all the time, and people didn't have to do that. You know, we was goody two shoes, all kind of things. They would say things about us all the time. And I'll never ever forget this thing that happened. We was at the hospital for my granddaughter to be born. And we was there, right there close to the delivery room, and the NICU unit was right beside us. And we were sitting in the waiting room, and then this light started flashing, and they was hollering some code. And they come running, the nurses come running with a little baby in a little, I guess it's an incubator. They had been in the room, and that baby was white as that paper right there. And Ethan's, his wife's grandmother, she grabbed me by the arm, and she looked at me in the eyes, and she told me, she said, you pray like you never prayed before. And it's the same woman that was always ridiculing us. Same woman was always laughing at us. Same woman that was running us down to her granddaughter for going to church. Yeah, running us down. Told her we was making her go to church. She grabbed my arm, and she looked me in the eyes. She said, you pray like you ain't never prayed before. And I tell you what, we knelt down right there in that waiting room, and we started praying. And I tell you, I just poured my heart out. It didn't matter who hurt me. You know that? It didn't matter what they thought about me. I didn't care. But I knew that there was an urgency. And I prayed and poured my heart out to God. And we got up. We stopped praying. And people was weeping. People was crying. She was crying. And the nurses come out. They was working with the child. They come out, and they asked us to go down and talk with the parents and pray with them. And we found out that what happened is the mother was feeding the baby, and she rolled over on the baby, and the baby died. And before we even made it back down to the room, they told us, the baby's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And I thought about, you know, that's just like God. We put our trust in Him. And even if people ridicule us, people laugh at us, people make fun of us, it don't matter. Let them say what they want to say. Our expectation's in God. Yeah. And when we put our expectation in God, there's nothing for us to ever be ashamed of. It don't matter what need we have in our body. You know that? Amen. He made provision for us to be healed. Not only the saving of the soul, but the healing of the body. Amen. Amen. He come to give us the desires of our heart. If we put our expectation in Him, He said we would never be ashamed. Amen. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to put our trust in Him at all times. You know that? This world can't do that. You know that this world can't do that. They can't trust. I know so many people that are professed Christians, and they don't even trust their pastor. They don't trust the minister that stands up and preaches to them. They don't trust them. They just to hear the things that they talk about them. And when they meet them in the store, they won't even talk to each other. What a sad state that is. You know that? What a sad state that is, that to not have any trust in one another. But it's even worse is that they don't have trust in God. That's true. You know that affects their trust in God, and that's what we're seeing today. People don't know what to expect when it comes to God, when it comes to facing God, when it comes to talking to God. They don't have an expectation, because what they're seeing in the world is totally wrong. What a beautiful thing it is to have our expectation in God.
Amen.
I thank God that when I knelt down and prayed there, I wasn't looking at myself for strength. Because I would have been a failure.
Right.
Amen. But we put our trust in God and we put our trust in Him, we'll never be ashamed.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I think about Peter. Peter, whenever he was, before he was sanctified, he put a lot of trust in himself. You know that?
Yeah.
Peter was quick. I mean, he was quick to say something. He was ready. He was almost jumping the gun. You know what I mean? He was raring to say something. And we see a lot of times he got him in trouble. It got him rebuked. You know, and there was times that he would just say things that he really couldn't back up. Because he looked at himself, and I tell you, most men are that way sometimes.
That's true.
They will say things that will get them in trouble because they say, oh, I can do that. I can do that. And you thinking about yourself 30 years ago. 30 years ago, you could have done it. And that's what we was talking about that the other day. You know, as we get older, we start to realize we have limitations. Well, poor old Peter, he just didn't realize it. And he would say things that he just couldn't back up. That's because he was trusting in himself. And you know what? When we put our trust in ourselves, we disappoint a lot of people, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. Whenever, because we really feel like we can do it, but we trust in ourselves. But I tell you what, whenever Peter was sanctified, he put his trust in God.
Amen.
Amen. Whenever he told the man at the gate beautiful, he said, look on us. We don't have anything to give you. But such as we have, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Amen. He let him know it. And they started praising him. Oh, look, they healed this man. Peter said, oh, no. Oh, no, it's not us. It was Jesus Christ that you crucified that healed this man. Amen. You see the difference there? And that's the way we are, saints. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, then we have a great testimony for him. But you know what? We put our trust in ourselves and we try to lean to our own understanding, we get ourselves in trouble. Amen. What a beautiful thing it is to have our expectation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The second part of that, of verse 8, it says, pour your heart out before him. Amen. And as I read that verse, I like to go down through and kind of break the verses down. You see I'm doing that. Pour your heart out before him. And I tell you, immediately I thought about the woman with the issue of blood. And I thought about how many times would we liken ourselves to that woman? You know that? How many times we liken ourselves to that woman? We've prayed and we struggled. We've been here. We did this. We did that. And we just can't seem to get the answer. How many times have we been that way? Maybe we're holding on for salvation of a loved one. You know, maybe we're holding on for healing or just different things that we're holding on to. And we see that she purposed in her heart to do everything she could. Right? She did everything she could. She determined it wasn't nothing going to stop her from doing her very best to get to him.
Amen.
She didn't care if he saw her or not. She didn't care if she had his full attention. All she wanted to do was get to him. And sometimes, saints, sometimes we feel that way. I know I do. Sometimes whenever I'm praying, I feel like I just want him to know that I'm praying. I just want to almost reach up by faith and touch the hem of his garment. You know that? Brother Moncrief was preaching one time and he said, if you're holding on to the hem, then and it's just a thread, tie a knot in it. And I wrote that down. You know, that's a beautiful thought. Sometimes we feel like we're just touching a thread. But you know what you do? You hold on to that thread with all you got. And you know, that's what she did. When she crawled about, I can visualize in my mind's eye her crawling through the crowd. Because it was a great crowd there.
Yep.
And obviously they were pressing up against each other. So much so that when she reached out and touched Jesus, just touched the hem of his garment, he asked them, who touched me? And as you read that account, you can almost get the thought that the disciples were almost kind of, almost like in a mocking way, like, we're in a crowd. Why are you asking who touched you? You know what I mean? It was almost like they were saying, you're asking a foolish question. We're in a crowd of people and they're all pressed against us. Why would you even ask who's touching you? But Jesus said that was a special touch. And saints, I'm going to tell you, when you hold on, and you pray and you persevere, amen, I believe that when we touch heaven, it's a special touch. Amen. Amen. And we'll receive what it is we stand in need of.
Amen.
I honestly believe that. I've proven that time and again. Amen. We might pray for years and we might pray and pray, and sometimes we'll never see our prayers answered. But I believe if we pray and we put our expectation in God, He will work in our behalf.
Amen.
Amen. He says, pour your heart out before Him. You know what that also shows? It's a sense of just showing Him everything. You know that? Just showing Him everything. Whenever you use that term, pour your heart out, it means you don't hold anything back.
Right.
You know that? A lot of times we talk to people, we might get counsel, we might go in and see our doctor, and we just tell him a few things. We don't just tell him everything. And they say, you know, I've heard them say, and I tell the one guy at church, he had an appointment, and he told me he's aching and this, and I said, now listen, when you go see your doctor, you better tell him everything. He said, well, I'll tell him. I said, no, if you don't tell him everything, then he don't know everything. And he's going to make a half judgment. But, you know, when we read this, we get that sense that we need to pour our heart out to God. We need to tell him everything.
Amen.
Amen. We need to tell him all our concerns. And, I mean, sometimes we think, well, God don't want to hear it. He does want to hear it.
Amen.
He wants to know our problems. He wants to know our needs. He wants to know our desires. He wants to know our shortcomings. Yes, he knows it all. But the Bible says that whenever we confess it with our tongue, amen, the scriptures say, ask and you shall receive. Right?
Yeah.
It didn't say think and you shall receive. It didn't say, it says knock and it shall be open. It didn't say stand at the door and it shall be open. Right? Yeah, all three of those. Ask, seek, and knock. All three of those are action, right? And that's what we got to do. When we pour our heart out to God, we got to let Him know. We got to pour our heart out to Him. Amen. God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. But you know one thing He won't do is make choices for you.
That's right.
He won't ask you. He won't answer something you will not ask. And that's something we need to understand as Christians. Sometimes we don't want to ask. But God will not answer a prayer you don't pray. He will not answer a request you don't ask. Because God has set boundaries. And He has set boundaries that we are free moral agents. You know that? We're free moral agents. We choose our destiny.
Yeah.
And when I say that, we choose our path. We choose our destiny. We choose who we're going to serve. Amen. He don't make that choice for us. And when it comes to us pouring our heart out before Him, if you don't ask Him, He will never answer.
That's right.
He will never answer. It don't matter how much you think about it, how much you say God knows, if you never ask Him, He will never answer it. And that's a fact. We got to pour our heart out before Him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's like whenever we see people, I used to hear them talk about a dry eye repentance.
Yeah.
When people just come and they don't really want to repent. They want to repent, but they don't want to pour their heart out to God. They don't really want to ask for forgiveness. They know they need forgiveness. And consequently, they don't really get what they need. But when someone comes and they just pour their heart out to God, I remember telling Brother Doug, it was a sister to come. She never was raised in church. And God spoke to her heart. And she come to the altar, she just was weeping and crying, and she said, I'm a bad person. That's all she knew. But God had spoke to her heart. You know what I told her? I said, well, God's here to make you a good person.
Amen.
Amen. That's a beautiful thought. That if we just pour our heart out to Him, just tell Him everything, that we can put our trust in Him. Our expectations from Him, it's not from anybody else. So why shouldn't we want to pour our heart out before Him? Amen. And the last one I want to look at is God is a refuge. Amen. He says God is a refuge for us. It's one scripture that says that God is a refuge and we run into Him. You know that? What a beautiful thought that we, that God is a refuge for you and for I. And not only the saved, God is a refuge for all of us. You know that? He wants to be a refuge for every person in this world. God wants to be a refuge for everyone.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what stage of life you're in, no matter how good you think you are, how bad you think you are, He is a refuge. Amen. Jesus Christ paid the price so that God could be our refuge. He paid that price to reconcile us to Him. So that He could be a strong tower for us. So that He could be a defense for us. So that we could pour our heart out to Him. So that all of our hope could be in Him. You know that?
Amen.
Amen. All of our expectation could come from Him. We would never be disappointed if we put our trust in God. Amen. We look at Him and know that He is a refuge for us.
Amen.
Amen. Let me see what I got. Matthew 11. Let me look at this. Matthew chapter 11. Amen. A refuge. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28-30. Amen. Jesus stood and told them there. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden,
Amen.
And I will give you rest."
Amen.
Amen. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Amen.
Amen. "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." And I tell you, saints, sometimes even the saints can get labored and heavy laden.
Sure.
You know that? Yes, the cares of life. As I talked about the other night, life happens. And it has a way at times, things disappointing us, things happening around us. You look at the state of the world. Amen. You look at just the state of things around us, and we can come so heavy laden with that care. You know, one scripture talks about the cares of life come in and choke out the word.
Amen.
You know that? And as Christians, we got to be careful that we are putting our expectation in God. You know that? That we're looking at Him as a refuge. And we're looking at Him as a comfort to take that load off of us.
Yes,
yes, when He took that load of sin, and we probably, every one of us can remember whenever He took that load of sin.
Amen.
But I tell you, He wants to take the burdens that we carry. He wants to carry those burdens. He wants to help us with those burdens. Amen. He don't want to just carry it for a little while. He wants us to give it to Him for always. You know that? One scripture says, "Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you." And what a beautiful thought that we can put our trust in Him and our expectation is from Him. Amen. We feel like sometimes that we only I can carry this burden.
Yes.
Sometimes we feel like only I can carry this. Only I can deal with this. Only I can handle this. And can't no one else help me with it. I had a friend that was going through a trouble, and I asked if I could help, and the person said to me, says, "I feel like I'm the only one that can help, can do this." And that hurt me, because we're pretty good friends. But and it hurt me because they felt like that they had to do it by themselves.
Yeah.
But you know what? Whenever we carry down, when we heavy burden down, God wants to take that burden.
Yes.
Amen.
God wants to help us carry that burden. Maybe we got a burden for a loved one. Amen. Maybe for a co-worker. Maybe someone that's sick. And we carry that burden. And we feel like it's a duty to carry that burden. And we should carry a burden. But we shouldn't carry it to the point that it presses us down. And it gets us down in the dumps, or gets us to where we're not really seeing a way out. We can put our trust in God. You know that? We can put our trust in God. And to those that are unsaved, He says, my yoke is easy,
yes,
and my burden is light. And you know, if you know anything about that, some of you older saints might know that they used to yoke oxen together. And they put a yoke in between them, and they never would. They would not ever put a yoke on an animal that was way stronger than another animal, because it could kill the other animal. The one that was real strong, it could kill the one that was weak. But they tried to equally match them. And what they would do a lot of times when they was training an animal is they would put a yoke on one that was well-trained and one that was untrained. And even though their strength was pretty well matched, the one that was trained, by wearing the yoke with one that was untrained, he would show him the way. And he would teach him what to do, teach him how to pull, teach him when to stop, teach him to obey commands. But you know what? Whenever we're in sin, we're yoked with a hard taskmaster.
Yes, amen.
Amen. We're yoked to one that will kill us. You know that?
Right.
Whenever we're in sin, we're yoked with Satan. And he doesn't care about us. He doesn't care. Amen. His expectation is that we would just give up and die. Amen. But whenever Jesus stood and he told him, he says, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy, even though we're weaker. Even though we're more fragile than what he is, he cares for us. And he bears the load to teach us and to show us the way. That's what he's talking about when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. So I trust tonight that you will look at God in a way that your expectation would be from him. And everything we go through in life, it don't matter what it is, that we can put our trust and our expectation in God. That we can pour our heart out before him, and we can trust in him to be a defense for us. We can trust him to watch over us. We can trust him to heal our bodies. We can trust him to see us all the way to the end. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen.
Amen. Would you like to get a songbook and stand? Turn to page 127. There is 1896, and he wrote a song, Be Ready. Be ready when he comes. Jesus said when he was here on earth, he said the disciples wanted to know when he was coming. He said, no man knows. It's reserved unto the Father only, not the angels in heaven, not even himself. It's reserved to his Father. But the Bible also tells us we need to be ready.
Yes.
We need to expect him to come now. That's a real battle sometimes as far as a human.
Yeah. Yes.
We've always heard different ministers make comment and talking about being ready. You get ready to go somewhere, somebody's going to pick you up at a certain time. And, you know, the other day, this week, Brother Tim, I was going to pick him up one day or whatever, park my truck out on the lot, and I got out of the truck, and he's ready. He's right there. You know, sometimes people, we go in, and I get them, and they're sitting there, and let me get my shoes on, let me get ready. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that, but when I'm expecting somebody to be there, I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready. I don't want to spend another half hour getting ready and things. And, I mean, if we have time, that's one thing, but we need to be ready. God says, I'm coming. We need to be ready. And it's a difficult thing because I get ready today and he doesn't come. You know what? I have to be ready tomorrow.
Yes.
And next week and next month and every single day. We don't know the day or the hour that the Lord may come or the Lord may come for me as an individual. But we need to be ready. We need to be ready. You know, the word expectation and expect is a difficult word. We don't really use it a lot. We don't really lean on it a lot. We're living in a time today where people just don't expect things to happen like they're supposed to. It's just nonchalant, happen whenever, come and go. But we need to expect. God's word is true.
Yes, it is.
Just because he didn't come today, he may not come tomorrow, or he hasn't come back in 1896 and all, he's still coming. He's still coming one day. We need to expect him to come one day, and that day or hour, we don't know. So as the songwriter says, be ready when he comes. Be ready when he comes. In order to do that, we need to get ready.
Yes.
You know what? It was a certain time tonight, and I had to start, let's look at the clock, let's start getting ready for church. Get a shower, get dressed, get shaved, and get ready, put my shoes on, get everything ready. And then we had time to leave. But I couldn't just say, well, I'm not going to get ready. We have to be ready.
Amen.
So Lord, help us. If you're not ready tonight, you need to get ready.
Amen.
Because he's coming one day, that day or the hour, we don't know. We need to expect him one day. Verse 3 and 4, if there's a need in the audience. Do you know the end of time is near? Be ready when he comes. Soon the Lord to judge us shall appear. Be ready when he comes. Be ready, be ready, be ready when he comes. Be ready, be ready, be ready when he comes. There is awful danger in delay. Be ready when he comes. Will you cast your only hope away? Be ready when he comes. Be ready, be ready, be ready when he comes. Be ready, be ready, be ready when he comes.
Might be seated for a moment. Let's have a prayer for Sister Ann. Thank you.
Appreciate the service this evening. I was up here earlier and I seen Brother Tim had that bottle of ginger ale.
I didn't know what that was for. I thought, I guess water tonight isn't working for him. He needs some ginger ale. But now I see that. And now he got me too. I thought, brother, you ain't going to open that, are you? But appreciate the message. Lord, help us. God is a God of perfection.
Yes.
And Lord, help us to expect that.
Yes.
He can do abundantly above what we can think or even ask.
Amen.
So Lord, help us in a special way. Tomorrow morning service, 10 o'clock. And tomorrow evening service is at 6. Be much in prayer for those. Anything we need to mention before we prepare to dismiss? All right, we'll stand and be dismissed. Brother Walter, would you dismiss us, please? Brother Walter.
Our Heavenly Father.